Hey Potters, welcome to episode 168 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay. Woohoo! Yay!
It's summer.
I'm happy it is not 93 degrees outside.
For now.
Well, see, we actually had one of those random summer storms blow through here. So it went from 93 degrees to 77 in the course of about 10 minutes, which was awesome.
You had 77, like, from my car, because yes. I was driving when this happened. It went from 93 to 71.
Yeah. The 77 was within 5-10 minutes after the storms left. But it never really went above 80 after that point for the rest of the day. It
was just nice. Fantastic. Which means it'll be 105 tomorrow. Because Texas. We didn't really get a spring this year, which is aggravating. We got cold weather and then we got hot weather.
Especially as a cosplayer, because then you basically end up having to flip your entire cosplay wardrobe from cosplays I can wear when it's decently cold outside and not freeze to, oh god, this would kill me if I wore it outside. Let me take off some layers.
Mm-hmm. It's not fun at all.
Yeah, this is probably in the northern hemisphere, at least, you know, in the southern hemisphere, they're about to have winter. So at least for us, this is actually one of the rougher times of year to be a cosplayer outside, because it simply gets so freaking hot. And unfortunately, moist. It gets humid.
We're on record from what a meteorologist said to have the second hottest May in our history. And I was like, oh God.
But we're supposed to have a colder than normal August, which is hilarious.
I hope so. God willing. That'd be nice.
But speaking of just one of the random things that I noticed that I wanted to mention, because I don't think people may know about this, is that when taking pictures and doing photo shoots outside in the heat, the cosplayer may not know it at the time, but when you have photos taken, if you are sweating, there's a very distinct sheen on your face that makes it very shiny, which I don't think is kind of what they're after. And they just, you don't know it until you've seen the finished shots. So it can really help if you bring little blotting pads or a little mini powders, just so that you, right before you take photos, you touch, just so you matte the face so that you don't shine in photos. Sometimes photographers will even bring these. They'll just keep, I mean, not many, you know, you can't provide enough for everybody unless you're literally going to carry a basket of these things around like Little Red Riding Hood. But you can pack a few in your pocket just in case. It really does help. And it makes your photos look so much better because you're not distracted by the shine.
As somebody who is in Photoshop a lot every single day for my job, it's kind of a pain in the butt to get rid of shine.
Plus, it helps them look better, too. It's not just, oh, you look horrible. No, it's not that you look horrible. It's that we want you to look better. And it really does help. Because you will sweat when it's hot outside.
Regardless of what you are wearing, even if it's a very simple outfit, it happens. I've done so much photography this week, I know.
Yes. All right, so let's go ahead and start off the episode with some cosplay updates. Do you has?
I kind of, sort of, little has. I mean, nothing's really changed on the dress form. That's just been kind of sitting there. I've been steadily working on all of my embroidery templates. Oh, lordy. Oh, lordy. So many. So many. So I've just been doing lots of prints and tracing and more prints and more tracing and more prints and more tracing.
Your poor camera is just flickering as you hold each one of these up.
It does not know how to handle this. It's just like, nope, this is not a thing. Ah! Doesn't help that the colors are all weird. So yeah, I'm in the process of just getting everything traced out before I start doing all of the fun machine embroidery. And I did a little bit of a test pattern to figure out how I want to do this. I don't know if I want to do the embroidery directly onto my final fabric, or if I kind of want to do what I'm doing with my Game of Thrones costume, which is I'm using a separate fabric. I'll cut that out and then I'll hand stitch that into place just so it's fewer holes on the final piece. So I've kind of played with it, figure out what I want to do. I have like two layers of interfacing though, which is helping immensely. It's keeping the structure really, really well. I'm just concerned about with all the little holes that the sucker is going to be making, because obviously it's going to be making a ton of holes. And this is actually much thicker than how the stitching will end up being, because you could see in the previous ones the stitching is really kind of tiny. So I don't know. I haven't really decided which route I want to go with yet, because this method has been working really nicely. It's not as abrasive as I thought it would be. And I've also been doing this just to try to break it and see what happens. And so far there's been almost no stretching. So we'll figure it out when we get to that boat. I still have to do a lot of tracing before I get to that point. And other than that, I just spent technically only $37 on thread for this project. However, that was with coupons and discounts, so it would have been like almost 70 bucks.
Then again, you also bought quality thread. You didn't buy the cheap stuff.
No, because I knew exactly where this was going. It's got to look nice. It's got to have a metallic sheen on it. So this was like the $8.49 thread.
See, no, that stuff was like 12 bucks on your receipt.
Yeah.
Normally.
Yeah.
I mean, this stuff that you get at the Walmart, this little thing, this is like $3.
Yeah.
49 cents regularly. But it's not nearly as nice as that stuff.
Yeah, it's nicer and it's more expensive. However, it was also 50% off. And I had a coupon on top of that that stacked with discounts. So I had an extra 20% off. So I was like, oh, thank God. So I saved a lot. However, it was also like, oh, man, I would have spent a ton. I'm glad I came in today because this coupon is about to expire. Oh, Lord.
For those of us here in the States, you know, for our international listeners, they may not know that this coming weekend, as we're recording this, is Memorial Day, when you celebrate those who served and have passed on. Unfortunately,
with sales on mattresses and cars.
Thank you. Unfortunately, usually corporations celebrate this by having massive sales to get people to go and buy stuff. I have no idea how those two things are correlated, but
logic.
If there's going to be the sale anyway, and you're going to be out and about, you may as well.
I mean, take advantage of it while you can. I mean, I still have to work on Monday too anyway, so it's not like, you know, it's not a day off for me. You know.
It's a federal holiday, but retailers don't necessarily observe those.
It's, you know, it's like any other holiday in the States, you know, Christmas, Thanksgiving, 4th of July, people still need to buy things. So they're going to be open, you know, whatever. I'll support them, but I also am very understanding and respectful when they're busy and they're tired. I try to be really polite because I know that they won't get that. Yeah.
Yep. So if you have cosplay supplies you're looking for, you know, this would be the weekend to at least have a look, especially if you're having to order from a US-based supplier, because they may also be running sales, and then you can at least save a little bit and maybe cover your shipping. Or hey, maybe they offer free shipping.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. But yeah, that's all I got for cosplay updates. I haven't been really able to do a whole lot because work kind of exploded this past week and a half. I'm hoping, though, that because of the holiday weekend, I can get a little bit more work done, maybe actually start the embroidery or start my third costume, because I need to work on three things at the same time. Sure. And start going through all of that gathering and making the ruffles. So many ruffles.
So I have a few different things to talk about. The first one is going to be our website, which you guys will notice that we've been tweaking a bit over the last couple of weeks. Mostly we're trying to get a new design down so that it's much more streamlined. It's simpler. Those who access us on mobile will find it a little easier to navigate. Oh, it's a little easier for us to maintain because we are two cosplayers with very busy day jobs. And it's a lot to maintain. Especially because, you know, webmastering is not our day job. So don't be surprised if you see more changes over the next couple of weeks, as we're basically experimenting and trying to see what works. But all of the content will still be there, and it will all still be available on our YouTube, which is not changing.
Yeah.
So if you guys want the most up-to-date feeds, our YouTube channel is the best place to find it. Our website may end up lagging a little behind because we are tweaking it. So go to our YouTube channel.
But if you saw my stream from last weekend, I did a really quick little preview of what the new web design is going to look like. And I got some really nice feedback off of that, too. It got a lot of positive responses. So I was like, yes, good. I know the mobile kids will really appreciate it.
Yes. And of course, if you guys do have feedback on the website design, you guys are always welcome to send that information to us. I can't promise that we can do everything that you guys want. I know we've been asked to do audio-only versions of our episodes, and unfortunately, that it basically boils down to double the work for us, and there are only two of us. So that's unfortunately not something we can do at this time. But we do still happily take suggestions. The second thing is that I wanted to point out that on Facebook, and I know not everybody uses Facebook, so this won't apply to everybody, but because Simplicity and McCall are merging under one banner, they now have a new Facebook group that is closed, that is basically a combination of the two, where people can post pictures of things they have made using basically all of the known patterns in existence for commercial companies, because now they're all under the same banner. It's really cool if you want inspiration or if you want to see examples of things that you can potentially use for cosplay. Because these aren't pictures of the pattern envelopes, these are pictures of actual clothing that people have made with them so that you can see not just what the sketch looks like, but you can see what it looks like in real life. And sometimes it's kind of like when you go to Home Depot and you're wanting to make a prop and you don't quite know what to do and you see this product and you suddenly visualize it, it's like Sherlockian in a way. It's like, oh, that's exactly what I was looking for. I need that. You can look at these examples of clothing and just go, oh my God, now I know how to make X because that's the piece that I was looking for and I didn't know they had a pattern for it. Because if you guys didn't know, they've been making patterns for decades. Some of these are out of print and people still have copies of them. And I know that they just launched a vintage pattern archive. They have a sort of wiki built up where they're trying to get all of these old patterns available to people so that you can use them, so that out of print won't matter anymore. So it's really awesome, and I highly recommend joining the group if you're able. Okay, so for my own personal stuff, I only have half of it sitting next to me. Oof, I have another pile of fabric. I always have a pile of fabric.
It's always piles.
It's always piles. Because I deal with a great volume of it. Unfortunately, I was very sick a week ago. Again, I had one of my vertigo attacks and went into urgent care. So I've slowly been trying to recover from that. So it's been a little hard for me to get progress done. But what I have been able to do is use up all of the pins in existence.
God.
I don't think I have enough pins. These are only half the pins because this is a full circle skirt. The pins go all the way around. Yeah, I really wanted to hold the gathers in place while I hand stitch this, while I baste it so I can machine stitch it. Because unfortunately, this particular fabric, which you might be able to see the sheen, is velvet. And as we all know, velvet does not like sewing machines because it has a very grippy pile and it likes to pull itself out from where I have it pinned because it is strong and strong-willed like that and does not like being sewn together in the way that I want it to be. So it takes me all of this doing so that it will mostly stay in place while I machine stitch it together. Ah, I need a walking foot so much when I
Yeah, you
use this
do.
fabric. But this is the circle skirt for my rogue, which I am basting together so that I can stitch it together and then insert a zipper in the back, which originally I was not planning on doing, but sometimes, the best laid plans of mice and men do not exactly go well. So it needs a zipper now. It's not because I'm too big. I actually lost another 10 pounds. I've lost 25 pounds now. But it's mostly because I figured out that if I have the waistband as large as I would need it to fit my ample hips, because you have to actually pull these on over your body, not that any, animated characters ever have seams for this sort of thing. But it would basically cause the waistband to wrinkle. And I didn't want a wrinkled waistband. I want a flat waistband because I didn't want it to irritate my skin, which means zipper. Should be bowling. You guys, one of these days, we should share the private messages we share. We film the show.
One day I'll have a chat bar just
Yes.
going on the
One day
side.
you guys will see it just like you do on like Twitch live streams.
Right?
But this is the bolero. It is also pinned. There are not nearly as many pins on this one
Still a
because
lot.
I ran out of pins. I used up all my pins. These are all the pins I have. They were in here.
Next birthday for Amber, we're just going to get her like 500 boxes of pins and she'll be set for life.
No, I don't need 500. I probably only need about 4. Because what that is supposed to do is to limit me to only working on one project at a time, which is what I'm supposed to be doing and not working on like 3.
Well, you know.
It never happens that way, but that's how it's supposed to work. When I run out of pins, I'm supposed to stop and like finish what I'm working on.
I didn't say you should follow my example. I am not a very good leader like that.
No, it's just one of those things where if I can't work on something, I want to be working on something else. So then I look at another project. It's like, well, I can't do that and I can't do that. So let's start a third one.
Yep.
That's exactly how it works. So this is the Bolero, which I will eventually be painting. If you guys have seen my Sky Sorceress, it's going to look much the same, just in green and gold. And it will have a skirt instead of the long panels that you've seen me wear. I wore it at Alcon. If you guys see pictures of Alcon, you'll see me in it. So basically, I'm just doing a lot of hand basting because Velvet hates me. And then that will be done. I did finish my tunic pattern. It is nice and fitted now. I'm very happy with it. And then I went to go to my final fabric so I could cut it because I had measured 3 times. You're supposed to measure twice, cut once. So I had done my measuring and my final fabric was only 1 yard. It was fabric I had found. It was really nice brocade that I'd found at a swap meet. And so I had, like, in my head, I had thought that I had 2 or 3 yards. Because that's usually, you don't give away 1 yard at a swap meet. You usually give away like pieces of 2 or 3 because it's not enough to do much with. Nope. It is 1 yard and it's actually got a piece of a corner cut out of it. It's like, oh, Great. Okay, I can't do anything with this. I can make an obi with this. That's about as much fabric as I've got. So I'm going to have to kind of change plans upon what I was intending for my outfit because I don't want to buy any more fabric right now. I have medical bills that I am paying on right now instead of buying cosplay stuff. Not to mention I don't have any more space. So that's basically been my life for the last week. I've at least been getting out with friends and going to sewing meets. So I've been forced to make progress and I've been trying to do what I can when I'm not having dizzy spells that are ongoing from my vertigo attack. It's really hard to sew in bed. So I've been doing what I can, but I'm making progress and I'm slowly regaining pins. See?
Yay! Oh God.
I've recovered some of them. They're in the bottom. And I've recovered some of the other kind. They're in the bottom. It's mostly empty.
That's like not even enough to bowl with. That's just terrible.
I have more than 10 in each box.
Oh, okay. Well, that's something. You get 2 people to play. There you go.
Yeah, that'd be about it.
You don't want to know how many boxes of pins I have. It's pretty sad.
See, originally, my mother had gotten me a basic sewing kit. And so I have the tomato. These are the standard pins that you guys see, the stainless steel pins that you can buy in bulk packs
in bulk.
Of like 1,000 pins at Joann's and Walmart. They're like $3. They're really cheap. The problem with these is that you get a lot of duds.
Yeah.
Aren't sharp and you can't really sharpen them easily. Not to mention that they do poke giant holes in your fabric. So if you have fabric that you can't have holes in, like satin or silk, you can't use these at all. And they're also a little harder than the ballpoint pins because there isn't as much to grip onto. So when I need to push them in or pull them out, I end up having to get pliers because there's nothing to grip. So these are nice if I have a really simple cotton project that I need, but otherwise my ballpoint pins are so much easier.
My big thing is with those in particular is that if some of those drop on the floor, they're lost forever. At least with the ballpoint ones, I can see them and I can quickly retrieve them and not have to worry. Those scare me because they will get lost in this carpet and I will step on one.
Yes, which is why I posted in our Discord, which I highly urge you guys to join if you have not already. I posted that the law of the pins is that you will always find them with bare feet.
Yes.
It may be of use to you to get a dowel, just plain 36-inch dowel, maybe a half inch. Glue a rare earth magnet on the top of it so that when you drop a pin, you immediately start sweeping the floor with it. And if you want to be really fancy, you can duct tape a little flashlight to the top of it so you can see what you're looking at. So you can see the shine when you come upon the pin. And that way the magnet picks it up and not your bare foot.
Good tips, and it's also really scary.
I have found I dropped a pin into a couch I was sewing on, and I tilted sideways, and I went to put my feet up onto the couch, and I found the pin.
Yeah, well, that's one way to find the pin.
In my barefoot. Yep.
Yep.
Straight up through the middle. Ow.
Ow.
Like, oh, thanks. Yep. All right, so moving on to happier things that do not involve sacrifices of blood, sweat, and tears, although cosplay gods do appreciate those things. We have for you guys today a book review. Da, 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 da.
There you go.
I don't do the Vanna White thing very well. But basically, this book is called The Prop Builder's Molding and Casting Handbook. This is the yellow book. Sometimes you will see it referred to as the yellow book because it is, in fact, mostly yellow. It is by Thurston James. You can find this guy in Half Price Books. You can find it on Amazon for sure because I ended up buying this on Amazon. It retails for $19.99. It would be $28.99 in Canada and about £14 in the UK. At least that's the retail price. I can't promise it'll sell for that much. But this is a tome. I highly recommend that if you want to build props of any kind that involve molding or casting or vacuforming or thermoplastics, you need this book. This is worth the $20 that you will spend on it, I promise you. It is extraordinarily detailed. And not only is it detailed in going over, you know, tips and techniques and materials and all that, which it does have, unfortunately, black and white pictures, so it's a little hard to see. It has examples of all the different materials that you can use to cast and mold things, and it shows you the differences in them. But because it is in grainy black and white, it's a little hard to see them. But it does have this handy page that is how to get started, which is one of the most popular questions in molding and casting is what the heck do I start with? How do I get started? This actually tells you explicitly what to do, so you don't have to worry about looking for it. And what makes me happiest is that the first section is called safety. They actually cover safety in the book as the very first thing you read, which is very important. And I'm not saying this like to be a mom in cosplay, and I don't say that in a derogatory term. Basically, I'm not trying to boss you around. Safety is so important, you guys, and nobody talks about it very often. Because when you mold and cast, it's usually with things that you should not be sniffing, you should not be eating, and you should probably not have anywhere near your respiratory tract. So,
or near food, or probably not in your kitchen or any place where you're going to eat.
I would say not in your kitchen at all.
Yeah.
Nowhere near your food. I mean, there's a reason why you don't poop where you eat. Well, you also shouldn't be casting where you eat.
Oh my God. That's what I'm going to type this title this episode. Poop where you eat. You said it.
Well, of course I said it because it's true.
It's true.
It's a hygienic thing.
It's just so funny. Thank you, Amber. I appreciate that. Okay, you can continue.
They do go over protective equipment, what kind you need, what it does, why you have it, that sort of thing, which is very important. You should actually get the safety materials before you even get the casting and molding materials. And surprisingly, thermoplastics also have toxic fumes, so you should also work with safety equipment when you're working with thermoplastics. So the first portion of the book, and they actually have pictures, and they do go, you know, step by step. So there are pictures. It is a fairly dense book. It starts out with molding first because you'll build the mold before you cast with it. They have multiple types of molds in here. So you can do one-part molds. You can do multi-part molds. They teach you about shim casting. They teach you about rotocasting, alginate in here. There's all sorts of things. And they also basically go over prep techniques, which are very important when making a mold, especially if you don't want the object that you are molding to forever become part of the mold, because you eventually want to be able to take it out, especially if you need copies of it. So they talk about releases, casting, priming your molds, how to take care of your molds, because generally you want to use them more than once. Generally, there are some times when you just destroy the mold that you're using, but generally you'll want to reuse them. So they teach you how to take care of them. He talks about the number of times you should be able to use certain molds, because molds do not last forever. They are only good for a certain number of times, and then they will start to disintegrate in a very literal fashion. They will break down, basically. Surprisingly, they actually talk about making breakaway glass, which is more of a theater technique. Basically, it's the safety glass, so that whenever you want to break something in theater and not actually cut yourself, you make this stuff. So you can do some pretty neat cosplay effects with this if you wanted to, but bear in mind that it's basically a one-use thing. Once you crush it, that's it. So, actually, most of this book is meant for theater. It's not necessarily meant for cosplay, but I believe all of the techniques in here are applicable to cosplay. For those who want to make their own gems, this covers urethane and polyester resin casting. Those are the two big ones that you will probably use for gem casting and for casting most of your props, if you need little pieces of jewelry and such as well. So it covers both of those. It covers mold making and casting with both of those. They have a sort of this to that, not in table form. If you've ever seen it where you need to use adhesives with different products, you would say, how do I attach A to B? Well, this tells you, if I want to mold something, what material do I use for the mold, and what materials can I use to cast out of it? Because some materials will interact with each other and should not be used together. Silicone can be used with almost everything except itself. So some of those things are useful to know. You may not have known, but you can use hot glue for casting. They actually cover that in here as a thermoplastic. You can use silicone caulking for casting. That is covered in here. You can make a happy trip to Home Depot or Lowe's with this book. They will be very happy to see you and will happily point out the product they have. You can also cast with body filler, also known as Bondo, the brand name here in the States. They do not cover Rondo in here. Rondo is resin and Bondo. Usually that's used for coating, not as much for casting, unless you're roto casting, but they do cover at least, Bondo in here. They do cover fiberglassing, which necessitates extra safety because you don't want to sand that stuff and inhale it. They do cover things like putty casting. My favorite part of the book, vacuforming with thermoplastics. Yes, they teach you how to build a vacuform machine in this book, and they teach you how to use it. You wouldn't have thought you'd see that in a molding and casting book, but they do. They have the entire back, I'd say quarter of the book, is dedicated to vacuforming, which I find awesome. Now, the method that they use to build the machine is not quite a beginner's level. You need some understanding of electrical engineering and soldering and being able to do some basic math, because they do have voltages listed in here and such that you need to be able to work with. And they also have you pillaging an old microwave oven, which I'm not even sure if they sell very many of anymore. Or I'm sorry, not a microwave oven, a toaster oven. They still sell microwaves. But toaster ovens, a little harder to find nowadays because people don't use them very often. But they basically have you taking the coil out of one and using it as your heating element. But otherwise, most of the other instructions are straightforward. It's just building the electrical parts of it that are a little bit beyond beginner level. And they also talk about making modifications to it, should you wish to make modifications. Because vacuform machines can be either very tiny, with which you can make little pieces of jewelry. Unfortunately, those won't work if you wish to make armor. If you want to make armor, you're going to have to make a much bigger vacuform machine, which requires more parts. They do talk a little bit about welding in here, but it's not quite as involved in molding and casting. So they do brush over it very briefly. And they talk about styrene in here, which also makes me very happy. But this is a fantastic book. They even talk about making headdresses in here. So basically you can look at how to cast your own antlers if you want to make headdresses and horns and such. So, all in all, this, I don't want to say it's the best, but it's pretty darn close. It is the best that I have encountered thus far. If you want to learn how to mold and cast, all of these techniques are still relevant today. So even though this book was written years ago, it's still very applicable. It's very straightforward, with the exception of maybe the vacuform machine. It's very affordable. If you go to half price, you can get it for $10 instead of $20. And it will show you the basic techniques that you need to build on for making some pretty awesome things. And then you can go and take those techniques and then take commissions and make money, which is also a cool thing. It's a good thing. So highly recommend. Again, the name of this book is The Prop Builder's Molding and Casting Handbook by Thurston James. It is the yellow book. You can find it at Half Price, Barnes & Noble, Amazon.com, or your favorite local bookseller who can probably get it for you if they don't have it in stock. Enjoy.
So I have questions for you.
Okay.
If you are a newbie cosplayer or if you've never done any molding or casting before, does reading the book help you or is it a little too advanced?
Reading the book definitely helps because even if you don't understand the text, the pictures are very clear. Because again, this has pictures that go along with it. So you can kind of follow what he's doing. Because I actually read this as a beginner. I had a gift card and was like, hey, this looks cool. I should go read this. I can understand this. Doesn't necessarily mean I can do it perfectly, but I can understand what's in this book. For some of the more basic techniques, like the urethane casting or the polyester resin, you can probably do it along with the book at the same time. For some of the other techniques, I would probably read the book first, then go and get the materials and do it. And it's definitely going to be practice, 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 practice.
Do you think it would be good supplemental material? Like, let's say they're more akin to watch a bunch of YouTube videos before they read this book, or do you think they should do the book first and then they go to YouTube for any questions that they have?
I think it depends on your learning style, because if you're a very visual person, I would say YouTube first. And then this book will be supplemental material that will kind of fill in the gaps maybe and deepen your understanding that the YouTube videos won't. If you prefer written stuff and the YouTube videos kind of make you tune out after a while and you just kind of lose attention, then I think the book will help. Now, again, it is very dense material, so it kind of takes time to digest. It's very understandable. It's just very dense. So it's all good material that just you have to stop and think about it and let it percolate a little bit like coffee.
And since this is more about molding and casting, it sounded like just based off of your description that it was more focused on like hard cast. Did they talk about soft cast like silicone or mask making or like ears?
They do mention alginate.
Okay.
Usually for use in prosthetics. In this particular example that they use in the book, which I've actually pulled open so you can see there are tons of pictures. In this one, they're actually molding a model's hand, which is one of the uses for alginate. It can be used for prosthetics. It can be used if you need to make a cast of your hand or arm so that you can make armor that is accurately fitting to you, provided you don't change sizes. But they don't necessarily cover it for things like making masks. In here, they do cover some mask making, but it's hard masks. So it's like theater masquerade type masks. But the techniques can still be used in the same way. They do actually show a life cast in here. They don't go over the steps necessarily for it, but they do actually show it. Yep. And they do some flexible casting. They do latex rubber, but it's not for human use. It's just for making object casts that are flexible.
More like props, the things you could probably use like in a cosplay skit.
Things that won't break. So if you wanted to say mold a Nerf gun because say the convention just doesn't allow them anymore, or an airsoft gun that is the right shape but you're not allowed to have it, well, you can make a silicone or a rubber cast of it and take that instead.
So it sounds like it's got applicable uses not only for small things like gems but also for potentially bigger, larger prop pieces.
Yes. And you could take this book with you to a local casting company, something like Brick in the Yard that we have here, or a Reynolds Casting Company, or Tap Plastics. And you could say, I want to do this. What is the best product that I need? And they can actually tell you what you need.
That's all the questions that I have, because it sounds like it's a really in-depth book. And even though my molding is kind of minimal, I do a lot of it on occasion. Not a big fan of the resin casting, though, because that's always just trouble in Texas. Everywhere you go. But it's nice to have like a nice all-in-one primer that can tell you everything you need to know and then some.
Yeah. It's a good resource just to keep on hand so that if I need to reference back to something, then I can go look at it. So if I need to know, okay, I want to make a mold of something. Okay, here's my casting material. What kind of mold material should I use?
Yeah.
I can refer back to this.
Less than $20. I mean, I'll take it.
Yeah. especially because I got it on sale. So
yeah.
Yes.
Go half price. Woo.
Yes. Half price is always a good thing. And so is Amazon when they have sales.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. If you guys have any questions or need the information about the book, feel free to contact us. I believe that is the end of our episode, unless we have anything else.
That's it.
Awesome. Well, if you guys have any feedback that you would like to share with us, or if you'd simply like to share pictures of your convention goings, because there are a ton of conventions going on right now, feel free to contact us on any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
Including our Discord channel.
Yay! Yes, join our Discord, because we are currently having a discussion about the rules of cosplay. And of course, you can always email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you will get a very prompt response from both of us, because we care that much.
On top of it.
Yes. And as always, we would also like to thank you guys for tuning into the show, for giving us your support for 6 years thus far. We hope to keep going. All we ask in return is that you guys do share our website, share our Facebook page, and share the show. We want to spread the cosplay love to everybody, and the only way that we can do that is with your help to make sure that everybody knows we are here, we are happy to listen to you guys, and we are certainly happy to talk about all things cosplay. With that, we will see you guys next time in episode 169. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye, guys!